Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. This is Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you're with us today. And I believe that God has given us a wonderful broadcast and a wonderful word for you today. First of all, let me say happy Thanksgiving. I'm so grateful to everything for everything that God has done for us and everything that God has given to us. I'm so grateful for my wife and for my son and my grandson. And, you know, I just have a lot to be grateful for. And as we go forward from here, I'm not going to stop giving him praise. I'm not going to stop giving him honor. I'm not going to stop giving him glory. Because God has done so much for us. Amen. And when you are grateful and thankful, what you actually do is you prepare yourself, or if I could say it this way, you prep yourself for greater blessings. Amen.
Amen.
No one does a lot of things for people who are ingrates. Amen. Everything done for you, you have that spoiled mentality. It should have happened. It was mine anyhow. You know, well, I, about time it came. Okay, listen. If I open a door for you and there's three doors, and I open the first door and you look at me like, you better open that door, the chances of me opening up the second door are going to be diminished. If we get to that third door and it needs to be open, and you ain't said nothing from the first and the second one, chances are that third door ain't going to get opened by me. Now, that's just me and my flesh. Amen. I'm being honest. Amen. Because if you're not grateful for something simple, amen, there's no use, there's no need for me to keep doing the same thing. I'm not doing it for your accolades anyhow. What's happening is as I do it, there should be something that is reciprocal there. You know, I sent it out, a gesture. There should be something that comes back in the way of acknowledgement that says thank you, you know, because I didn't have to open up the door. Or I could open it up, run in it my own self, and leave you to your own devices. Amen. So, you know, it's just be kind, be thankful, be grateful. Amen. And all of those things. And we're just so grateful for everything that God has done for us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as we go forward, we're going to get into our announcement, and then we're going to have our prayer, and I'm going to ask Prophetess Crystal if she would take us to the throne after our announcement. So, Prophetess.
Amen. Good morning, everybody, and once again, welcome to the broadcast. In the way of announcements, 7 p.m. every Tuesday. Join us here for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle McQueen. That's 7 p.m. every Tuesday. on Thursday, 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m., join us back again right here for Kingdom Lifestyle broadcast with both Apostle McQueen and myself as we begin, as the man of God begins to break down the word of life. Amen. And you can hear us at www.ctkr.org. That's www.ctkr.org. Go to our website, learn more about us. Yes. Also, please, if you need someone to touch and agree with you, please leave your prayer request there on the line, on our website as well. And also, you know, please review the churches that are underneath, that are under our covering. Amen.
Amen.
They actually need your prayers and your support as well. And just help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Now, let us pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we give your name praise. We give your name glory this morning, God. This is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for this holiday. We give thanksgiving in all things. We give thanks for everything that you have done and continually do for you, for us, for your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we come, we invite your presence. We invite your anointing. We invite the Holy Spirit as we begin to minister this word, break the bread of life. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would just breathe upon us, and that you would bring clarity and understanding and revelation to your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that you would open up every spiritual deaf ear, every spiritual blinded eye. Open it up this morning. Let your people see, let your people hear what you have to say unto the church. Give us an ear to tune into the frequency of your voice, God, in the name of Jesus, so that we will know your word, that we will know your will and your way in Jesus' name. Now, God, we give your name all praise, give your name all glory and honor. We thank you, hallelujah, for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Amen. We're grateful, as I said before, that the Lord would choose to use us in ministry. And I'm going to say this, and please hear my heart. Excuse me. Hear my heart. It is my desire to do the will of God. We've been involved and connected to several ministries, helping them to grow, to build, and to progress. And there's one thing that we've learned over the years in ministry, and that is, to never preach man, always preach Jesus. Amen. And whenever you see somebody and they begin to preach man, attributes of a man, qualifications of a man, then the focus of that ministry is off, because Jesus didn't come and make a reputation of himself. He came and dealt with the Father. Amen. And our job is to do the same. Come in and deal with the Father. As children of God, our job is to come in and make sure that everything that we are doing brings glory to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen? Now, what do I mean by that? And why did I go that direction? When you begin to look at how the world is set up and the systems that are set up in the world, the first thing you'll notice is that there is every attempt to tear down the foundation of the Word of God. Although they try to validate themselves against the Word of God, they do everything they can to tear down the Word of God as a way to build themselves up. And we have this phenomena in Christendom where people are coming in and becoming spiritual leaders. Amen. And the first thing they do is, as soon as they come in, is they begin to preach the gospel of me, us, and I. Lord, help us today. Do you know that it has nothing to do with you? You are a beneficiary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are a beneficiary of God. Amen. On the plan that he put together, we've been preaching for the past couple of weeks, dealing with the fact that everything that you have and everything that you are is tied up in who he is. Amen. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that he didn't come for you to lift yourself up or lift up anyone else. Your job is to lift up Jesus. And as you lift up Jesus in your life, your lifestyle, in your offerings, your tithes, your seed, in everything that you do, in your testimony, in your overcoming, everything about you brings glory to the Father. Amen.
Amen.
So we gotta get back to the foundation of this, and that is preaching Jesus and living a life that he's called us to live. But you can't live that life when you have conflict within yourself. The reason why I'm saying all of this is that during this time of year, we see a lot of people who really have a hard time dealing with themselves. They begin to look at their shortcomings, their flaws. They begin to deal with the fact that if they don't have anyone of significance around them, a special person, if they're not married, if they're by themselves, then they begin to deal with certain thoughts because of being alone, of them being alone in a time when you should be with family and friends. Amen? But we have to learn that as the church, you know, our job is to go out and reach out to them and not to point at that, not to talk about that, but actually to help them. Amen? We don't want anybody to feel alienated from the gospel. The gospel's for all. Amen? And if the gospel's for all, we have to preach an all-inclusive gospel. Amen? Mm-hmm. Jesus was very clear when he came. He offered himself for all. Amen? But we become very separatist, and we offer the gospel to those that we think would be good to come in. And everybody else, we leave on the outside and point at them and talk about their situation and you know, who they are and everything. Listen, if it hadn't been for the Lord saving you, then you would be the same as they are. Amen? So instead of looking at them, be grateful, be thankful that God brought you in. The gospel was preached even to you. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Habakkuk.
Yeah.
Habakkuk 1:1. And as I'm moving forward, let me just say, for those of you who will go to our website, www.ctkr.org, you'll find on our missions page, Bishop Wandera David and Bishop Joel Apamosiendu. You'll find them there. That is the bishop over our churches, schools, and orphanage in Uganda as well as in Kenya. And they contacted us and let us know that they're doing some outreach and some things for the holiday season, especially coming up on December 21st in Uganda. They will be attempting to feed and to give gifts and supplies out to the orphans and vulnerable children. Amen. Those who are widowed, orphans, vulnerable in Uganda on December 21st. And they've asked if we could help them to raise the resources needed for it. So I extend not necessarily a plea to you, but I ask you, amen, if you would, in your heart, click the donate button there and send a gift. We'll make sure that it goes directly to them. God has blessed us where we don't have to take off of what they get in order for us to have and then send them the pennies from the dollars. We can just send the dollars, amen. And we'll make sure that it's going to something and to someone who's going to use it really for the gospel, amen, and not for everything else that they consider to be expenses to getting it to them, amen. They need things like milking cows. They need resources for building and for strengthening the buildings that are there. Books. They need Bibles. They need things like that to do outreach. Bishop Joel let me know that they need another keyboard and sound system. When I went over, I took the keyboard there, and the keyboard that I've taken there, if I would have known what I know now, then I would probably just purchase another keyboard and take that. But when I got there, the keyboard that they needed was one of the ones that you could probably get at Walmart or at Kmart or something like that. It was one of the Casios or the Yamahas with the speakers on the front, and they're a couple of $100. If they're $199, you know, that's, you know, with the drums in it and everything else, that's what they were looking for. What I took to them was the Korg keyboard, you know, right, $700 keyboard, and they looked at it and said, "Where's the drum set?" I was like, "No, this is okay. All right. Eye opener, lesson learned." Amen. Mm-hmm. But we went over there to be a blessing to them. Now that I've gone there and I see what they need, now I know what to ask you for. Amen. So they need sound systems and the microphones and things like that so that they can preach the gospel. And I want to share this with you because it's important. When you go over to those type of countries and you're doing Christian outreach, the Muslims, the witch doctors, and the atheists, others are there. And the first thing they say is when you have a need as a Christian and you have to go to the Muslims to get a well, get water from their well, they say, you know, where our God, Allah, has provided for us. Where is your God? You understand? So they ask for these things because for you, you might look at it and say, well, why don't they just get out there? Well, they don't have the same infrastructure. They also don't have the same opportunity that we have to do what needs to be done. Amen. So when they ask because it's a need, not because they're trying to embellish or palm the wants. Amen. So I just want to make mention of that. On December 21st, they have the orphans and vulnerable children. They're looking at about, I think it was 400. And I know when they asked the first year, they said about 150 and about 200 and some showed up. Second year, 200, about 300 showed up. They're trying to go for 400. I know more is going to show up because the need is that great. He spoke to me and said that they need about 1,500 to 2,000 U.S. dollars to try to make everything work. And that's before we look at what we're dealing with over in Kenya as well. So I speak that because I want you to know that these are the needs and this is what we need. And we want you to be a partner with us to do that. Become a vision partner with us, and that way we can share with you what God is doing and what we need to do so we can continue the work that God has given us. Amen. Evangelist Ademiyi over in Nigeria has a school there dealing with Bible college and Bible school. Amen. And he says we need teaching material, Bibles, and outreach material. If you could help us, please. And again, you know, people donate the material, but we still have to ship it there. The best thing to do is if you release funds to us, then we can contact vendors who would ship it from their warehouse. Amen. And it's more effective. Amen. And efficient as well. Now, let's get into this word. Habakkuk 1. And I thank you for indulging me with this, but we're in a need. We're in a season of need, and people are going to spend a lot of money doing useless stuff for people who are not going to appreciate it. And you can spend a little bit and be greatly appreciated. And God, the Bible says, when you give to the poor, then you lend to God, and He will repay. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So just look at it as you're giving God. And God will repay it to you. Amen. Whatever you give, God will make sure you get it back. Amen. Now, Habakkuk 1:1 says, the burden of the prophet Habakkuk saw, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contentions arise. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked around the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. And in the fifth verse, amen, says, look among the nations and watch, and be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, even though it were told. Amen. Now, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Last night, Prophetess and I were in Orlando with Apostle Michael and Prophetess Sanders for their Pretty in Pink Women's Conference. Amen. I want you to know Minister Javis Mays and they came in and brought the roof down. Amen. And Dr. Sheila Spencer was the speaker, and she preached from this text. But and I'm using it this morning, and I don't mean but. What I want to say here is she preached from this text, and it stirred up something within us. Amen.
Amen.
Because the whole point of this is that there is grievance within the body of Christ. Amen. We're looking at everything that's going on. There are people who are so caught up in themselves that they can't see the need of the people. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not even looking. You know, when you see a need, the first thing you do is you try to go a different direction because you don't want to see, you don't want to hear, you don't want to know. These are people who open up churches but have no drive or have no heart for the people. They found that this was the way for them to gain an audience and to make a living. So now they are employed in the church, but they don't even have Christian mentalities or standards. They could care less about what's really going on as long as the offering is correct. You know, don't talk about, you know, some of the vices. Don't talk about the drinking and the smoking. Don't talk about the sleeping around. And let me share with you, the Bible is right. The Bible will be right. This type of preaching will not be popular because there's so many people out, so many different groups out who are speaking about tolerance and celebrate unity and diversity and everything else. But I want you to know that the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. You've heard me say this in the past couple of weeks, that we have to learn not to look at the world and become like the world. We need to stand up and be the church. Amen. Mm-hmm. If we are the representatives of Jesus Christ in the world, if we are his representatives, then the last thing I should be trying to do is look like what he don't represent.
Well. Yeah.
So we're walking around and we got a lot of people who go off to school and go off to these different places and they learn how to speak to audiences, but they don't learn how to cry out before God. So what they end up doing is they end up speaking a gospel that aggrandizes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't preach Jesus, then you got to preach something. Amen. And the first thing you do is you begin to preach what you know. The problem is if you don't know Jesus, when you start preaching, you're going to preach what you know. And that is flesh and self. Amen. See, you have to understand something. Regardless of who is in leadership, Who is in the White House? Who's in the governor's mansion? Who's in the mayor's house? It doesn't make a difference for any of that stuff. Amen. God is always in control. But we become those who are focusing on those things, and we forget to preach that there's a heaven and a hell. We forget to preach that there's righteousness that has to be lived. Holiness is right. Holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is a lifestyle. Amen?
Amen, amen.
It's a way that we have to live. And if you're going to live this life, then know that the enemy is going to come to attack. Amen? Prophetess Sheila Spencer yesterday, Dr. Sheila Spencer, prophesied to us, and she said something that I really appreciate. Those of you who don't know my story, I went through some stuff over false accusations. And when I went through it, there were those who knew me who were waiting for something to happen so they could point the finger and say, ah, there you go. Well, guess what? If whatever's in you is coming out. And if you've known me all these years and never saw anything that accusation would imply, then you know that that's not even me. Amen. If you never saw me drink, smoke a joint, get high, shoot up, or anything else, if somebody tell you that they saw me walking down the street smoking a joint with a bottle of booze in my hand and had a baggie in my other hand of some drugs, then you say, that don't even sound like a pop. You know why? Because it's not. Amen. But then there are those who would sit back and say, well, you know, they saw something that had to be there. But listen, you have to understand the difference between a lie, an attack, and process. I wish I had time to preach on that. Amen. The process that God uses is when something is in you, he works it out of you. That's called process. Amen. An attack is when the enemy is trying to find something so that they can discredit the anointing, the saints, and the God that's in you. Amen. Huh? That's what an attack is. Amen. Mm-hmm. And a lie is when people can't find either and the enemy can't do an attack, and then they turn around and they just make up something they hope people believe. Amen. So when you look at all of this, that's what people look at and they try to build off of. What she said was, the first thing she said to me was, you've been falsely accused. But then she began to talk about, you know, our ministry and what God has said. And I'm not going to get into all of that. Amen. You should have been there to hear. Amen. You would have heard your word as well. I just want to deal with that part right there. When you stand up to preach the gospel, as Habakkuk did here, oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and you not hear? We're looking at gangbangers. We're looking at those who have been victimized. We're looking at those who have nobody to cry out for them. And when you begin to cry out, when you begin to speak against the norm of society in subcultures, the first thing that happens is people who want that to stand will stand up and try to find a way to discredit you and what you're doing. Amen. They'll try to find a way to say, well, you don't have a right to speak. After all, look at who you are. Look at what you've done. Look at where you are, where you've been. Amen. Don't fool yourself. The enemy knows how to fight his fight. Amen.
Amen.
He knows exactly how to hit. And he doesn't hit when you're the strongest. He tries to come when you are weakened, and then he strikes. Amen. And if it hadn't been for the blood, if it hadn't been for anointed men and women of God speaking to me and my wife before we got to the test, the trial, before I went through that assassination, amen, character assassination and the crucifixion, amen, and the persecution, amen. If it hadn't been for God sending the word, then I would have given up, walked away. I may not even have been here because I probably would have thought about how well the world would have got on without me, amen. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for insight. Thank God for oversight that was there that kept me and kept me focused. Whenever I got to a place where I was weak, the Lord sent the word to remind me, I'm the one who has control of this situation. I'm the one who knows exactly what you have to go through. And let me say this to those of you right now who feel that if you are going through anything, then it must be out of the will of God. God knows how to process you to get things out of you. What was being attacked was me because I was too big in my own eyes. Amen. I know my wife can sit back and say, Lord, thank you because he finally got it. Listen, I had it before. I grew up as a musician, and one thing you know about musicians is that they have chips on their shoulder. Amen. We're very hard on everybody else because we're so perfect in our own eyes. Amen. And after the fact, now I'm so grateful that God uses me wherever he uses me. Amen. Because I realized that just like Nebuchadnezzar, when he stood up on the terrace and said, Babylon, look at what the might of my hand has gotten me. And God led him into a humbling situation. That's what I went into. While I'm sitting there looking at all that I've done, God said, let me make sure that I can humble you now. Amen. See, I can talk freely about myself because I've gone through and there's nothing to hide. Amen. And some of you are still trying to hide the process, amen? The process was to bring flesh down, but to lift up Christ. So now that I have gone through that process and we've come through the process, here I am on the other side preaching just Jesus. That's why I can't preach a man. Okay? Because I can't preach about, look what I've done. I've gone over to Africa and I helped this and I've done. No, no, that's you. That's you. What about Jesus Christ? What have you done in your life that has lifted up Jesus? Has the kingdom of God been expanded by your actions? Or have you become one that people use as a reason why they won't invest in the kingdom of God? See, we have to understand that there's responsibilities here. There's some things that we have to do. And God is holding us. Amen. He's holding us responsible for his image in the earth. Amen. We are the responsible. He delegated his authority to us. Jesus delegated that authority. In my name, do this. Go forth. Do it in my name. Amen. So when he comes back, you're going to be sitting back buried, you know, your talent, because you knew he was coming back to see what you've done. You better get busy, amen. Let them come back and find that you've expanded it, amen. I can't stay just a musician. I have to go off and do everything else that he's called me to do because that is working the vision, amen. Mm-hmm. That's doing what he's given me with the talent he's given me, expanding the kingdom. I have to be about his business, amen. So as I'm saying this, I want you to realize that in our text, Habakkuk is doing the same thing. He's going through, he's crying out, he's talking about what he's seeing, he's talking about the violence in the land, he's talking about what the Lord is showing him. Third verse says, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? Huh? You know, as you're going in ministry, the first thing you see is the needs of the people. You begin to see where the shortcomings, you begin to see how people are being taken advantage of by those who call themselves Christian and call themselves this or call themselves that. You know, they take on titles quicker than they can validate the last one they had. Amen. One minute you hear that they just got saved. Next thing you hear, they're a minister. Next thing you hear, they're elder somebody. Then they become a pastor. Now they're prophesying to everybody and running around because they're evangelizing. And now they want to be the apostle, bishop, the apostolic, ecclesiastic order of the Episcopal. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, listen, drop all the titles. First of all, let's get back to brother. Can you be a brother? Huh? And if you can be a brother, then I can understand your calling and your other level there. Amen. But when everything about you is about what people call you, what we have is people out here putting more prefixes upon their names. Amen. Because they want to make themselves greater. You know, what foolishness is this? Where the Bible lets us know that we are all ambassadors of Christ. All ambassadors of Christ. But then you turn around and make ambassador a separate and higher level than the five that he's given. Huh? The Bible says he gave to some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Amen? It doesn't say anything about
ambassador.
Well, ambassador is what we're supposed to do. Amen. We're supposed to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are endued with authority. Amen. And just like ambassador, U.S. ambassador, any place in the world, wherever they are, they represent the United States. And when they speak not for themselves, but they speak for the whole of the United States of America. So before they get that ambassadorship, they go through training, they go through scrutiny, they go through testing to make sure that when they're given that type of authority, they won't go over to a place and cause a war based on their personal makeup. Huh? Here you are. You want to know why God is putting you through? Why did God put me through that? So that I wouldn't face things and start cursing things based on how I feel. But I can speak now because I die and Christ lives in me. I can speak now concerning what he wants in this situation. That's why there were times when they dealt with Jesus and he, in his passion, and he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. How many people have we crucified and sent to a hell that we don't have, huh? Based on what they did to us and not based on what God has designed for their lives. Amen. Hurt people hurt people. So if those people are hurt and they're hurting and they're lashing out against you, then your job then is to see that there's some pain and hurt there and speak and say, Lord, heal them. Because when they're healed, they'll stop trying to hurt. Mm-hmm. Huh? But if in your flesh you want to validate who you are, they don't know who I am. I'm the most anointed high. Sit down. Jesus Christ didn't do that. And if you're following him, follow his example. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So you're going to see some things. You're going to hear some things. And, Lord, I'm seeing this. I'm hearing this. In our nation, we are divided right now. We're divided over useless stuff and fruitless stuff. It is incredible to me that racism should have died a long time ago. And here it is rearing up its ugly head. When you look at the news and they say words like the white establishment, is now the minority. That is an erring statement. It basically says that the white is the superior race, and now we are the minority. You put that out over the television, and every Aryan sect, white supremacist sect, rises up to defend themselves. You see this? This goes down to who's in the White House. You see that? So now we begin to look at it and the political races and everything. They've already started the next political race while this one is just finished. We haven't gotten to the inauguration for this term, and they've already started campaigning for 2016.
They already said they would.
They did that when they lost in 2008. They started campaigning for 2012. See, you have to understand what's going on here. And this is this political stuff and all the rest of this stirs up what has been lying dormant or what has been put to rest. There's a lot of stuff that we see coming up to the top. Amen. It was okay when we saw black on black crime. Amen. Mm-hmm. They just figure let them be over there and they'll take care of themselves and we don't have to do nothing. Let's live in our houses and enjoy ourselves and keep them over there. Well, now guess what? That's not happening. You know, what's happening is it's spilling out over everything. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. So it's not just black on black. It's white on white. It's brown on brown. You understand what I'm saying? It's crime, is hardship, it's all of that all over the place. And now we're sitting back talking about how bad it is. But my question is, and your question should be, where's the church? Where are the children of God? Huh? If in Romans 8 it says, all creation waits in earnest expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God, where are we? We can stand in our pulpits and talk about who should be in office. We can talk about people who have sold into our lives. This person's given this, that person's given that. Huh? But can we really talk about Jesus Christ and what he's done? We throw Jesus on there as if it's salt for the meal that we created. Instead of him being the main course, he's just a seasoning.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a little bit that we put on top so we can validate the whole.
Yeah.
That's it. We got to get this together. This is not what the kingdom of God is about.
Yes.
We've been doing so much about us that we've forgotten that it's not even about us. So now while we're so focused on ourselves and getting a bigger house and more cars and more this and more money and everything else, society in the world has gone south. 2012 it was the year of divine authority manifested in the earth. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What's really funny, and I say this because I'm making an observation, not making a statement. Amen. For those of you who are sensitive, God bless your heart. You'll be okay. They basically said, somebody said this, and I thought it was so good. They said, it's really bad when God votes for the president. People got upset about that. When you listen to the right, the religious right, amen, the Republicans, they begin to speak about the fact that the election should have gone their way, and because after all, President Obama believes in so many different things that are contrary to the Bible. Listen, when you become a perfect Christian, then cast a stone. Amen.
Right.
At this point, he has so many different things that are presented before him. He's looking at how we can move forward as a nation. Amen. And if you want to be religious to that point of everything in your life and everything around you being a certain way, then you need to become Islamic, amen, because they're stuck in the 13th century. And the women still walk around looking like they have fashion shows from the 1300s, amen. Their mindset concerning gender rights and equality is still stuck there, amen. But we have freedom in Christ. So let's live free and understand, like he did, Jesus Christ did, there's no reason why he would have went and spoke to a woman at a well, because it was against culture. You see that? It was a taboo. Oh, Lord, I wish I could preach this.
That's why he did it by himself.
So he left them, sent them on in, go and get some meat in town. And then he stood by a well and spoke to a woman. And he used the woman and her revelation of him to bring in a whole community. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We would have rejected that woman because she didn't fit our model,
right,
of what we thought, Christianity looked like.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been excluded from a testimony. She would have been excluded from ministering the word that would bring light and enlightenment to a community and to a people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he fought. Amen?
Amen.
So here we are in America, and we're dealing with the violence, we're dealing with the iniquity, we're dealing with the trouble, we're dealing with the contention and strife that arises. Amen? Huh? For plundering and violence are before me, and there is strife. Habakkuk 1:3, huh? And contentions arise. Where do we live, and what do you see on the news every day?
Contention and strife?
Contention and strife, huh? We see violence and plundering. People who have been taken advantage of by those who were positioned to do so. Amen? Your situation that you in does not dictate and mandate who you are. It is a condition that you are in, but it is not who you are. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who are vets who who went over and fought for this country who are back now, and they can't do anything as it relates to the health care, education, other things. We see people now who are homeless. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
They're homeless. But they served the country, and when they got back, they found out that the companies that came in and foreclosed on a home, and being that they didn't have time to respond, being out of the country or whatever, or they didn't have the resources, they lost homes.
Right.
So now they're here, you know, with battle scars and post-traumatic stress disorders and other things, and they don't even have a home.
Yes, yes.
So they stand out and they ask for you to help them, and people walk by and look at them as if they're just vagrants and they need to learn how to get a job or something. Listen, you have to get past yourself. Lord help us. I thank God that He's brought me and my wife into some things and through some things. When you have been homeless, amen. When you have people say that they're going to take care and help, and then they turn around and do everything but. When people see that you have a gift, talent, anointing upon your life, and they try to use it for their own selves instead of helping you to move forward towards your destiny and what God called you to do, they have to give account to God for what they've done. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But when you've gone through that, then you have sympathy and compassion for those who are going through the same thing. Amen? We're very careful not to become the person who victimizes, because we have been victimized ourselves before. Amen. And we're very careful. We don't walk around, and I'm saying all of this because I want to be transparent with you. Amen. Not because I'm trying to get you to pat me on my back. Amen. It's not my back. It's Christ's back. Amen. I want you to see that as we have gone forward, God has decided how we should go forward and what He will do for us for going forward. We just preach the gospel, and we're happy to do so. Amen?
Amen.
That's really where we are. It's not about anything else, you know. As He sends resources, finances, doors open, we will go and preach. And you know how I preach, when we show up at your church and in your pulpit, it's different than what I do on my broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
This is more teaching and training than it is me going out and being evangelistic. Amen. Someone asked me, they say, do you really preach it out? I say, yeah. They say, well, we don't hear that when you broadcast. I said, because that's not the venue for that. Amen. If I can't go into this word and pull out the truth of God's word, then who cares what type of show you get when you're looking at me? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It has to be focused, and it has to be proper. Amen? But we have taken so much time to look at people and to victimize them and to put them into a certain caste system based on what we believe is prosperity and life, and we got it wrong. We got it wrong. Amen? We don't want to use people that He uses. If God has ordained that the nation to have health care, then no matter how much it costs, He's going to make sure that it's taken care of.
Right.
Amen? So those of you who are scared of what Obamacare would do, you need to be even more scared that you don't have spiritual insight to what God is capable and able to do. Amen? It should be that we don't have, in this great nation, a situation where people can't get simple procedures to prolong their lives or to keep them from having chronic illnesses due to health care that they receive. We should have simple care like that. But this mentality, well, you know, if we'll give you a subsidy for health care that you could get that will help with that, when the health care companies for profit's sake say no and you lose family members, then you change your perspective.
Yes, you do.
You know, understand what I'm saying? There was a TV show that was out called Leverage. And the guy who was over everything that brought everybody together was upset because his son had an illness and needed a treatment, and his boss, who was over their company, said no to the health care to the payment for the health care that he needed for his son's life. Dragged his feet, didn't want to pay it, and everything else. And he said, you know, I do what's best for the company. Well, when you put profits above lives, your argument for pro-life and pro-death falls short.
Yep.
People who have been raped and incest and molested are told to carry children to term. So every day of that 9 months, they have to relive every thought, every moment, the thought that they were violated. Because there's no way for them to deal with the pregnancy. People who are sick and the bodies can't carry the babies are told, you know, in making a decision, gotta make a way. You know, we gotta really deal with some of this stuff. This is a cry out from the earth concerning who we are as those who are given authority. Amen. To be God's representative in the earth. We represent Jesus Christ. Now, what would Jesus do? The Bible let us know that he came, when he stepped off the boat and he saw them, he had compassion on them all. Amen? Compassion on them, and he healed them all. Now, understand that if he stepped off the boat, then what he saw in his eyesight, he saw adulterers, he saw fornicators, he saw all kind of people who were ceremonial and religiously unclean. He saw the sin, the degradation of mankind. Yet and still, having the ability to make a difference, he had compassion, and the Bible testifies that he healed them all. So who are we to reject the healing of some based on what we feel the healing of others need to be or the stance? It's a principle. Okay, well, how about having Christianity as your principle? Stop saying I'm Christian and demonstrate it. Huh? Well, you know, we know we're Christian because God has given us stuff and we have things. And, you know, the drug dealer has things. Amen. Drug lords and all of them have things. Warlords over in Africa in those places have things. Things don't make you saved. And it doesn't validate an anointing on your life. I'm sorry, that's what you think it does. Show me what you can do with the things that he's giving you. Now you can validate an anointing on your life. What have you gone through? What can you go through? Amen? Well, if you're going through, then that's not God's will for your life, that you should go through anything. That's not really the Bible, is it? That's you not wanting to go through something. Amen? And if you're going through something, that's because God's bringing you through. No. Stop. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let's deal with it for what it really is. Amen? Mm-hmm. And let's get this together. We got a world that we're supposed to be preaching to, a kingdom that we're supposed to be promoting, a God to glorify. We have a name of Jesus that we're supposed to be demonstrating the power of. Mm-hmm. And we're so caught up in the rest of the stuff that we've missed out on God. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the foundation. Let me finish this up in my last few minutes here. Habakkuk 1:1. And again, thank God for Dr. Sheila Spencer who preached this last night, because this word was something that stirred us up. Amen. As my wife and I, we drove back from Orlando back out here to the Space Coast. We spoke about this and the word that had gone forth and the prophetic utterance that has gone forth. And even now, I'm looking at what we need to do to go forward even more. Amen.
Amen.
It's not about likes, dislikes. Like I said before, when you go through something, you stop looking at who like you or who don't like you because it don't matter anymore. Amen. Somebody tells a lie on you. As soon as they tell the lie, there are those who want to believe it, who will continue to believe it, even when the truth comes out and it's valid. Amen. Because that's what they really wanted. Amen. So God bless you. If that's what you really wanted, hold on to that. Amen. We're going on with the truth. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. What we see here in Habakkuk, as I said, Habakkuk 1:3, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? The plundering and violence are before me. Their strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless. Amen. I was law enforcement, and I would always say that if there's something there, you know, it had to be validated on evidence. until the establishment turned against me because I wouldn't play the game with them. Amen. Changing reports and falsehoods under oath and all the rest of that garbage. Amen. Somebody has to stand for integrity. Amen. And you can't be a child of God and you know go with everything. Amen. If you fall for something, you can't never stand for anything. Amen. So therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Their first judgments proceed. Been there, victim of it. Amen. Understand it. It's all right. God gets the glory. Amen. Look among the nations, and this is what it says. This is the Lord's reply here. It says, look among the nations and watch and be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, even though it were told you. Now, here we are. God is about to do something. We talked about 2012 being the year of a divine government being established in the earth. And during this year, we've gone through election. Hurricane Sandy has happened right at election time. The governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, was a staunch Republican, outspoken concerning what he thought about the president and everything else. And when Hurricane Sandy happened and his land was devastated, his state was devastated, the president showed up. And the first thing he did was recant everything he said and begin to sing the praises of President Obama because everything he said was along party lines. But what he saw was a real president who showed up concerned about the people of the land. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we have to understand that when that happened, it happened so that God could begin to show forth his power in the earth. Don't think for one minute that, you know, people are in power because they just happen to get there. Right. The Bible's very clear that those who are in power are put there by God. Amen. But we need to, the good, the bad, the ugly. Yes, thank you, dear. there are some people that we wish didn't make it that are there. Mm-hmm. Amen. Romans lets us know very clearly what happens as it relates to the word of God, the will of God. Amen. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Amen. Listen to this. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. God knew who was going into the White House, regardless of what you do. Amen. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. But we're still here fighting against the president and the established authority that God has ordained. You're fighting against God. Stop fighting and look at how we unify this country and put this all together and go forward and deal with winning souls for the kingdom of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's where we need to be. That's what we need to be doing. Amen? Mm-hmm. So while we're doing that, then we'll see that, as God said in his word, the Lord said, look, I'm about to do something that's going to astound you. We're going into 2013, amen. As we go into 2013, there is a word from the Lord concerning 2013. My time is done, though. So next Tuesday, we'll pick this up, amen. Amen. Prophetess, you'll pick it up on next Thursday, amen. And we'll try to conclude the matter next Saturday. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the ability to minister this gospel. I pray, Lord, for those who are not saved right now, Lord. I pray that they will pray this prayer. Simply say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that right now, according to your word, I am saved. Thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray right now, Lord, that you lead them to a Bible-teaching church, a Bible-believing church, that they may be developed and made ready for their kingdom assignment that you've given them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lord, I pray for the sick, the shut-in. I pray for miracle signs and wonders to manifest in the name of Jesus. Lord, they need you now more than ever before. Come into their heart. Come into their lives and do a work in the name of Jesus that will lead them into greater works. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll find out more about us, learn about us, and become a vision partner. Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
And this is Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Live it in the name of the Lord. Amen.